What is the Absolute Monastery? This, of course, we have talked about many times, and we'll talk about many more times, because the Absolute Monastery keeps changing in its purpose, its direction, its focus, and its experience. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the Absolute Philosopher and the Absolute Monastery, talking about the Absolute Monastery. The Absolute Monastery, in the first place, doesn't exist. The Absolute Monastery is just a symbol. It's an image. It's an illusion. Because every time anyone comes to the Absolute Monastery, and this is every time, whether they're person who is coming as a salesperson, or whether it's a person who's coming as a student, or a person who's coming as a visitor, or just people who are the international travelers traveling from Mexico to the United States, passing through the campus first, all of them feel a great sense of peace and a great sense of quietness as they come through here. There's only a few disrespectful people. And when we were in the Great Pyramid in Egypt, we found a few disrespectful people there. And they happened to be the Germans. Because we were giving our meditation and very quiet, and the Japanese walked in, and instantly they said nothing. They realized there was a spiritual activity going on. The French came in, they said nothing. The Scandinavians came in, they said nothing. The Chinese came in, they said nothing. But the Germans, they came in, and they had to talk between each other as though they were on the other ends of the earth, even though they're standing right next to each other, and had to make their remarks about what they were seeing. Well, now, why did the Germans do this? Why did they do that? Well, you see, they were tuned in for a totally intellectual level of awareness. And because they were tuned in for an intellectual level of awareness, they didn't sense the spiritual level of awareness. People who come through this property, let's say the international travelers, they want to be very secretive. They want to be very quiet. They don't want anyone to see them. They want to go through here and again go through there and go on up north to wherever they're going to get a job and earn money to send back to their family in Mexico. And they don't want anyone to see them. They want to be so surreptitious that no one knows they're there. And the quietness of the campus is very suitable for them. But the people who do not recognize the quietness of the campus, unfortunately, are the Border Patrol. The Border Patrol come here and they think this is their great big playground and that they're supposed to make all the noise they can and toot their horn and talk to each other and use their bullhorns and talking back and forth. And I say to them, what are you guys doing here? You know, I mean, I cannot figure out what you're doing here. And they say, what do you mean? We're here to pick up the international travelers who are traveling through here, the wetbacks or whatever they call them, you know. And I say, well, if I were a wetback and I were trying to come into America as quietly as I could and not be seen, I would be as quiet as a mouse and you wouldn't even know I was there. Now you guys are trying to catch the mice and you're like a bunch of big cats, you know, you're trying to catch the mice and you run here and you run there and you run there. But if you notice, dogs that are really good ratters are dogs that are very quiet, and dogs that wait for the rat to be right in that special place, and then pop, with a movement as quick as can be, quiet. And after they caught it, they dispatch it, and then they go on to another one. They don't want to scare away the rest of the rats, because that's their purpose of catching rats. Well, now, the Mexicans certainly are not rats, but the thing is, if you're going to play the game, and that's a game that they're playing, of catching the international travelers, then that's what you do. And I'm amused by the statistics and the information that's put out by the international, the Border Patrol. And they say there are some 30,000 that are passing through during a period of time, whether it's a week, a day, a month, or whatever it is. But that's a lot of people. And there's a lot of them coming through. And they are able to recognize all of them with their apparatus that they have at the border, which detects whenever somebody's coming through the border. Now, they know. But they only want to collect so many. And they only want to collect them when the sun is shining. And they only want to collect them when it's lovely, good weather. That's why the Border Patrol on the freeway closes down when it's raining. You know, when it's raining is when you think that they would have good traffic, but they close down the Border Patrol. And they let, even on the little side roads, they stop doing it. So, I mean, if a person were really going to come into this country and figure out how, he would come in when the Border Patrol perhaps is not operative, like when it's raining, or when it's cold, or inclement. And I find it so fascinating as we drive by the secondary Border Patrol, the guys are sitting on their lawn chair, and they see us coming, and they wave at us and say, "Go through." And so we go on through, and no problem at all. They don't even know what's in the car. They might have a six deep laying people in the back seat, you know. But c'est la vie. Why do people come to the campus of the university when it's so near to so much activity like this? Well, when people come here to meditate, to listen within, to find peace, and to find a certain awareness of who they are, this is what happens. They come on the grounds, and if our own staff is wise enough to keep their mouth shut, then this is what happens. They never see an international traveler. They never see a rattlesnake. They never see a coyote. They never see anything that we might call something that would take our attention. They don't see them. But we, as the staff here on the university campus, talk about them all the time. And they say, "Are there any of this?" "Oh, yes, we see them now and then." Well, this is, no, we don't. When is the last time you saw this or that or the other thing? And out of 365 days, maybe twice. Maybe not even that amount. But you see, you are so infatuated with seeing it, so you empower it. And you empower it not because you see it, but because it's in your mind. And so you're thinking it, and so you're distressed by the thought of it. Now, we teach everyone who comes on the property, this is a place of peace and a place of quietness, and it is beautiful. Now, we give them the monastery rules, which is 13 simple rules, if you open it, close it, and things like that. So, our last guest was here for a week, and he went into the oasis, and he was enjoying it there, and the quietness. It's a beautiful house with nobody using it right now. And so he goes in there and turns on the air conditioner, turns on the coolers, opens the doors and opens the windows, and just walks around saying, "It's a nice place, it's a nice place." And then he leaves and leaves it all running and leaves it all open. Now, you see, this is not too cool. This is not too cool. Because what you're not doing, you're not really coming here to be learning discipline. You're coming here just to have a pleasant time. You follow me? So, now you say, "Well, Herb, you shouldn't say that. He's going to listen to this." Well, that's fine. But the thing is, you're coming here for one reason. You're coming here to be spiritually disciplined. And that means to follow the simple rules that we have for the monastery. Very simple. And we call them guidelines. And the reason that we have the guidelines is so that everybody here knows what's going on. And when you see a person on the path, shut up. This is not a conversational piece. You're not supposed to greet them. "Oh, hi, how are you doing? Are you enjoying yourself? Are you having a good time?" Shut up. You're not supposed to say that. When you're at a meditation retreat, when you're at a Catholic meditation retreat, theoretically, you're not supposed to speak to anybody. When the monks or the nuns or the guys go by, you don't say anything to them. You're there. You should have your head folded. I mean, your head bowed. Bow your head and look at the ground, if you will. You don't have to. You can look around. But do not let the distractions of normal life tend to get to you. Now, I tell you, you are walking down the New York. You're walking down Main Street in New York, whatever street that might be. And as you're walking down this street, there are hundreds and thousands of people also walking the street. Now, do you stop and say to each one, isn't this beautiful? Look at those tall buildings. Isn't this wonderful? Hey, there's a tree. Did you realize there's a tree right here in the middle of New York? Did you, you know, and the people would look at you and say, what boat did you get off of, you know? What strange land have you come from? Don't you realize that that's what New York is? Anybody who comes to New York reads a little bit about it and has an idea. And now, you don't talk. In New York, you don't talk to people. When I was giving seminars there, I talked to people. I walked up and down the street during my pauses or whatever I was doing, and I'd say, hey, good morning, how are you today? Isn't it a lovely day? Everything is so beautiful, everything is so fantastic. This is just great, it's just great, just wonderful. And what happened? Everybody looked at me as though I lost my rocker, but then after a moment they'd smile and they'd say, yeah, it is a nice day, isn't it, Joe? Are you okay? Am I allowed to talk to you? You know, are you a good person? You know, that may have been an instant remark response, because people just don't do that in New York, but I did, and I was in New Jersey, and I did it, and I was in Brooklyn, and I did it, and I was in Nigeria, and I was in everywhere, all around the world, and when I'm walking through the streets of Switzerland, and Germany, and Italy, and France. Whatever the term is to be used there, Grüezi miteinander, that means hello everybody together, or Grüezi, and that just means hello to you, you know. And they say zusammen, you know, to you too, and they send it back again. But you see, Grüß Gott is what they say in German, you know.
Grüß Gott.
Did it?
Grüß Gott.
Oh, she's got her rolling tongue in there again.
In Munich.
Huh?
In Munich.
In Munich they do what?
Grüß Gott.
Grüß Gott.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, German is a very guttural language. Grüß Gott, you know, with a very severe turn to the language. But, you see, when you are in Europe, and when you are walking down the street of these various places, you greet people if you wish.
Yeah.
But when I'm walking through the Black Forest, which is quite a lovely place over in Germany, and it's a beautiful experience, I don't speak to anybody. People look at me and they want to talk to me because I'm so approachable, but I don't speak to anybody. And when I'm going along the, what's that sea there, Bodden Sea, and the Bodden Sea, you know, there's a big waterfall down the end, you know where it is?
Oh.
Yeah, what's the name of it?
Rheinfall.
Hmm?
Rheinfall,
yeah. Don't just say, yes, I know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm searching for the words.
Schaffhausen.
Schaffhausen, yes, right, Schaffhausen. That's where I'd been often. And a real nice waterfall going out, a little staircase going down there right in the middle of it. It's kind of like Niagara Falls. But, you see, it's so noisy, you can't talk to anybody, which is beautiful. And so you just do your thing, and you go your way and have a wonderful time. Now, when you come to the Absolute Monastery, and we won't drag this out anymore now, but when you come to the Absolute Monastery, what you do is you just be yourself and have fun. And if you have a chore to do, you do the chore. If not, then you go out and you walk around and you enjoy yourself. And you lay underneath the cactuses and the various other wonderful plants, the live oak trees. We have 400 or older live oak tree out here, which the Indians had used for holding their ceremonies and so forth. Just not more than a 2 blocks here off on the BLM land. And that's ours to use anytime we want. Just beautiful. And there's so many things here. And people come here to the monastery for peace, for quiet, to let go of all the daily worries and cares, and then make peace with themselves. And when they leave here, they don't want to talk to anybody. They don't want to talk to people on the plane. They don't want to talk to people at the various places they go. But they want to quietly, introspectively live what they have learned, what they loved. And they have nothing to say to anybody. But everybody looks at them and says, what a beautiful person. What a beautiful shining countenance they have. How glorious they are. And perhaps that's what we should learn to do. Be more quiet, introspective, and get the benefit. Because Jesus said, go to your Father within, and your Father who seeth in secret will answer thee openly. So if we go to the divine within us, then all the doors are open, totally, wherever we are, whatever we do. Have a nice evening, and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.